So another ASCO paper poster you had, and I see we're working with Jenny Chang. She really has done some amazing work. And this seems like it's kind of lined up with that. Open label phase 2 trial of neoadjuvant TAC-228 plus tamoxifen. So first, neoadjuvant always gets my attention. And Jenny had done a lot of stuff with HER2 positive. But anyhow, what's TAC-228 and what's up with this trial?
So that's a dual mTOR inhibitor, and we participated in the trial. You know, there was some concern previously. There was an oral presentation at SABCS, I want to say 2 years ago, looking at a dual mTOR inhibitor, and actually the drug was not effective at all. And that was our concern initially with this trial, but this is a little bit of a different mTOR inhibitor. The results seemed, you know, pretty promising. It seems like this might be an agent that we may be using. You know, the benefit, as you know, in the neoadjuvant setting is that you can get results quicker. So as long as you have a drug that is relatively well tolerated and we know the toxicity profile, it's easier to try to do a neoadjuvant trial with it than to try to do a metastatic trial, especially in these, you know, one or two or three institution trials. So this might be an agent that we'll hear a little bit more about, probably in the metastatic setting. The good news is that now we have, what, three different targeted agents taking away the endocrine therapy. And so with this, we might have four or five, especially with when you add AKT inhibitors to the mix.
You know, actually, what really caught my attention was the neoadjuvant aspect of it. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know, kind of looking back, it always seemed like such a great idea. You know, in endocrine therapy, you know, I guess you can look at the Ki-67 or, you know, I guess that's been done. But I haven't heard too much about using it to even, you know, have the I-SPY out there. I mean, they've done some things. But do you see a resurgence in neoadjuvant therapy, you know, in the ER-positive, HER2-negative situation, both research as well as practice?
I think in research more than practice. Now, maybe with CDK4/6 inhibitors, since they're such active agents, we may see a little bit of a change. My issue with giving endocrine therapy in the neoadjuvant setting is that then you may not know whether you should be giving chemotherapy in the adjuvant setting or not. You know, these tumors are slow growing and they're slowly responding to treatment as well. So you have to treat them for at least 6 months of endocrine therapy, which is a little hard to take. Some of the patients we've had on endocrine therapy for 9 months and they continue to have, you know, slow responses. So it's hard to think in practice of giving these patients neoadjuvant endocrine therapy unless there's limitations. For example, you know, they're older patients, you don't want to take them to surgery. Other patients that have other comorbidities. You know, we have several patients that are on the list for liver transplant and all of a sudden they get diagnosed with breast cancer, but the liver is not in good shape. And so in these patients, it may make sense to give them neoadjuvant endocrine therapy. But in most cases, I think standard of care, we're still going to be looking at adjuvant therapy. But for clinical trials, this is how we learn. This is how we look at these agents and see whether the Ki-67 responds, whether there's other biomarkers of response that can help guide us in the adjuvant and metastatic setting.